Right, today's passage is taken from Psalm 47, verses 1 to 8. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amidst shout of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today, we're going to be continuing our series in spiritual disciplines. And as you can see from the title slide there, the whole idea is for us to be looking at this topic of singing. So just a question to start off with. Is there anyone here or there who doesn't like music? Anyone who absolutely hates or detests music? Now, I'm assuming there's no one putting their hands up at this moment in time. I'm assuming that all of us, even the most musically illiterate, we all like music to some extent. For example, have you ever found yourself humming a tune in your head? Or have you ever had a song that sort of just keeps spinning around in your head and it's hard to get out? If so, that basically shows, I think, that you like music. There's something about your brain that likes music. Now, in fact, according to the experts, music is a universal cultural phenomenon. There's nothing surprising about that, really, because an important part of the human sensory experience is hearing, isn't it? And because we've been designed to hear sounds, the human brain has built within it areas for interpreting sound, appreciating sound, responding to sound, and also for producing sound in the form of speaking or making music. Now, also according to the research, singing brings many benefits to people. For example, singing improves lung function. It also relieves stress. It increases our threshold of pain and boosts our immune system. It helps us memorize things and also to recall memories from the past. It has positive effects on people's mood. It helps people deal with grief. And singing together with others also helps to develop a greater sense of connection and unity with others. So even from the scientific perspective, it makes sense to enjoy music and to make music with your voice. And when we turn to the Bible, it's very easy to find references to singing. The first record of singing in the Bible occurs at a significant point in salvation history. The people of Israel had just left Egypt when they saw the Egyptian army chasing after them. They were at a loss as to what to do. They were stuck between the Egyptians and the sea, and they feared for their lives. Right at that moment, God told Moses to lift up his staff and to stretch his hand out over the sea. The sea was driven back by an easterly wind, creating a channel through the waters of the sea, allowing the people of Israel to escape to the other side. As the Egyptians chased after them into the sea, the Lord commanded Moses to lift up his arm again, and the sea returned to normal, destroying the Egyptian army. The Lord had revealed his great power and how he can use that to save his people. But what was the response of the people on seeing this? Well, we're told that their faith in the Lord grew stronger. But they also sang a song in praise to the Lord for the wonderful salvation that he had given them. And we can see some words from this song that they sang on the next slide. The song's recorded in Exodus 15. I will sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. In the face of what God had done to save them from a seemingly impossible situation, it was only natural for the people of Israel to sing to God as a way of praising and exalting him. In verse 2, when it says, Yahweh is my song, the idea is that God makes his people sing. As God acts to save and bless his people, the natural response is for us to break out in songs of praise because God is awesome in everything that he does. And note verse 11 where it says, Who is like you, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Friends, a God so awesome in power deserves to be praised. So when we look at the idea of singing in the Bible, most of the time the singing in view is singing in praise of God. And that is totally appropriate given who God is and what he's done. Now, overall, in the Bible, when we look at the various types of song that appear, we come across a number of different types. We've got songs of instruction and witness, songs of celebration, songs of love and marriage, songs of taunting even, and songs of lament. But the overwhelmingly most popular category of song that we find in the Bible, that is songs of praise followed by songs of thanksgiving to God. And this is very evident when you look at the Psalms. 10 times in the Psalms, God's people are commanded to sing to the Lord. And 16 times, they're exhorted to make music to the Lord. That means 26 times altogether in the Psalms, we have direct commands for God's people to praise God using music and their voices. And when we look at the Psalms, that number of 26 there, it doesn't include all of the indirect commands that exist there, like let us sing. And we also have lots of instances of personal example, like I will sing. So all in all, the Psalms are packed full with exhortations for God's people, in fact, for everyone and everything, to sing praises to God. For example, at the start of Psalm 33, it says, Shout for joy in Yahweh, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to Yahweh with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with shouting. Friends, it's totally appropriate for the righteous to praise and give thanks to God and to make music with musical instruments and to sing songs of praise to our awesome Heavenly Father. Notice also the instructions to sing to God that we see there in the passage which was read out for us in Psalm 47. The psalmist says in verses 1 and 2, "Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with a ringing cry. For Yahweh the Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth." And then in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Make music to God. Make music. Make music to our King. Make music. For God is the King of all the earth. Make music with a song." Friends, we're meant to be exuberant in songs of praise because our God is a great King. In fact, He's King over all the earth. The totality of the universe belongs to Him. So singing songs of praise to God is totally appropriate. Remember what Psalm 33 said? "Praise befits the upright." It's totally fitting for us to praise the Lord, our Creator and our Saviour. And friends, this is something that Jesus would have agreed with. There's enough evidence from the New Testament for us to be able to conclude that Jesus himself used singing as a spiritual discipline. The main example we have is at the end of the Last Supper. Jesus sang a hymn together with his disciples. This is recorded in Matthew 26. It took place shortly before Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we can imagine this song having the effect of strengthening Jesus' faith in his Father as he went out to face his betrayal by Judas. We also have the example of Paul in Acts 16. When visiting the city of Philippi to preach the gospel, Paul and Silas were arrested and thrown into prison. Normally, being arrested and jailed would be a traumatic experience. The jails in ancient times weren't nice places to be. But in Acts 16:25, we read, "About midnight, Paul and Silas, while praying, were singing about God, and the prisoners were listening to them." In the midst of a stressful situation, Paul and Silas were praying, and part of their prayers was singing songs of praise to the awesome God that they served, regardless of the circumstances in which they found themselves. We can follow their example surely. In conclusion then, what are we to do on the basis of what we've seen today? Well, as you can see in the slide in front of you, basically, we're encouraged to sing, aren't we? So friends, let's do that. Let's sing. Let's sing to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. Sometimes when it comes to singing these days, people, and particularly men, they can sometimes tend to feel embarrassed or awkward. Sometimes singing feels too intimate an activity to perform in public. But once we realize who God is and what he's done for us in Jesus, the natural response really is to shout and sing. So as a response to the gospel, let's sing and keep on singing, both in church and in our own personal lives. Our God is a wonderful God, and it's totally appropriate for us to sing because of him. So, friends, let's keep on singing. And how about we do that now to conclude this sermon?
Let's get that out of the way. Let's get on to the question. We've got a few up there, I think. Okay, first question. There are criticism of churches where singing during worship includes jumping. Is it wrong to do that?
I don't think it's necessarily wrong because
part of the singing that takes place, particularly when you see it in the Bible. If you recall what God has done for us, it makes you happy, right? So let it all out in a way. But the only question is what's appropriate culturally, and also you don't want to be a disturbance to other people either, okay? So you've also got to think about, when I respond to God, I need to do it in a way that actually encourages other people and helps other people to stay focused on God. If they get distracted, you know, we're losing the whole point of what we're there to do when we're praising God. So I guess be exuberant, but also just keep in mind not to become a distraction to others. It's a fine line, I guess, to play there.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a question in person. We've got John. We've got a question for you.
Hey, Steve, just to follow up from that question.
Yep.
I can't actually remember the full story, but somewhere in, I think, 1 Kings, David stripped naked, celebration, and singing and praising.
Is it when the
Ark of the Covenant's returned?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How do you understand that? Like, that's probably culturally inappropriate even back then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people reacted at that time, didn't they? And said, I think it was his wife, wasn't it, who said he debased himself or embarrassed himself. But his response was basically, well, I'm praising God. So, yeah, that fine line, isn't it, to be exuberant. But, yeah, most of the time I think if you're taking off your clothes, it would be a distraction, right, to most of the other people around you. So my idea is, you know, keep your clothes on, but be exuberant in your praise of God.
All right. No worries. Thank you for that. Okay. Our second question on Padlet is that, how would you incorporate singing as a discipline?
Yeah, well, obviously we do it in church, don't we? So that's a good place to start. I used to find, particularly at HBCC, a common experience that I would have would be we sing a particular song in church, and then I'd find the next couple of days or so that song would still be there. Or if you go to a tune in your head, it'll be that tune from one of those songs. So that's one of the good things about singing in church. It actually brings God's word to us and reminds us of the truths of the gospel, just kind of naturally, because we've got this song somewhere there still in our heads. So singing in church is a good place to start. But as you could see from Paul and Silas, they were just praying in their situation, and they were incorporating singing together with that. So that's one thing you could do in your prayer time or whatever. How about just singing a song that you know, or maybe even turning on YouTube or whatever and listening to a gospel song and singing along together with that, or meditating on the words. You know, we can do things like that. Another good thing to do is, say, if you're driving to work, why not turn on the Christian radio station, if there is one there, and listening to some gospel songs, or having your own playlist that you have in your car or whatever. Things like this we can do, and just surround ourselves with song and with the word of God. It all has a positive effect and just keeps reminding us of God and what he's done for us.